At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile AF, the podcast. This is episode 270 called Cara DeFalco. This episode is proudly sponsored by Receptiva DX, a groundbreaking test that has transformed the lives of countless women grappling with recurrent pregnancy loss or IVF setbacks. By identifying inflammatory conditions within the uterus, Receptiva DX offers invaluable insights that could be pivotal in your journey towards conception and sustaining pregnancy. Among its revelations, endometriosis emerges as a prevalent underlying factor, often lurking without obvious symptoms. So guys, listen up. If the path to parenthood has been fraught with challenges, Receptiva DX could hold the key to unlocking answers and tailored treatment approaches. Don't hesitate to initiate a conversation with your healthcare provider about Receptiva DX. It could be the pivotal step towards realizing your dreams of parenthood. The best part? If you ask for the Receptiva DX test and you use code INFERTILEAF24, you'll get $75 off. Again, that's code INFERTILEAF24 for $75 off. Thanks, Receptiva DX. Okay, friends, before we get started, two quick things. The first one is that Fertility Rally Live, which is our all-day virtual event, is coming up on April 27th. It's a Saturday. It's virtual. The tickets are completely free. So please go reserve your tickets over at Fertility Rally's Instagram or my Infertile AF Stories Instagram. The link is in the bio for both. Again, the tickets are free. We have a keynote speaker named Tessa Nique Saray. She's an amazing model, wellness influencer, and infertility mama. And we have 8 breakout sessions. We have a breathwork session with this amazing Pilates instructor and meditation expert from Australia named Jennifer Edmonds. And we have a couples panel and a panel called Fertility Doctors Uncensored. It is going to be an amazing day. All this content is totally free for you guys. Come and join, watch our virtual event. You get a swag bag at the end. You get giveaways all day. Even if you can't come that day, go reserve your ticket anyway because you have 90 days to watch everything and you also get the swag bag. So again, it's Fertility Rally Live number 8. Go to the link in bio at Fertility Rally's Instagram and Infertile AF Stories Instagram. We can't wait to see you on April 27th. The second thing is that personalized copies of my book, Work of Art, my children's book about IVF, are still available. Non-personalized copies too. I'm also doing bulk orders. If you want 10 or more, you get 25% off. So a lot of people are ordering those as like client gifts if they're fertility coaches. Clinics have been ordering them as graduation gifts for their patients. You know, people are just getting a bunch to give to their friends, which is really, really awesome. I'm so happy you guys are loving and embracing the book. If you want to check it out, go to infertileafgroup.com/books. Again, that's Work of Art, children's book about IVF. It's at infertileafgroup.com/books. Okay, so let's talk about today's guest, Cara DeFalco. She is so cool. I met her when they interviewed me for the New Jersey Morning Show, which is one of the shows she hosts. She does a lot of things actually on YouTube, TV and radio. She has a cooking show called Cara's Cucina. She's got a great story about being a single mama by choice. So without further ado, this is Cara's infertility story. Hi, Cara. How are you today?
Good, Allie. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm so happy that I was interviewed by you on your show recently about my book, and you were so wonderful and said, you know, I have a story. And I said, come on my show. So here you are. Let's start at the beginning. I always like to ask my guests, did you always want to be a parent?
Yeah, I think I did. And I think it's funny. I think more now I'm realizing more and more, I think it was the thing I wanted more than anything, really, even, you know, so I knew it was something that I wanted for myself in my life.
Okay. So growing up, what did you know about fertility, sex education, all that stuff? We always talk about, you know, my friend dubbed it the banana condom generation, where it's like we learned how not to get pregnant and that it was so easy to get pregnant. And that was kind of the extent of it. So what was it like for you? And where did you grow up? Were you in Jersey?
Yeah, Jersey girl, born and raised.
Okay.
I had the extreme version of that because I went to Catholic school for 13 years. So sex education, most, I mean, they went through, you know, like what puberty was and what happens to your own body. Sex education mostly consisted of like, if you look at a boy the wrong way, you could have an AIDS baby and die. I mean, it literally was extreme. There was a lot of fear and shame around it. And there was very little education around, here's how this works.
You know? Right.
I mean, we did kind of like the internal sperm meets egg and like that's how a baby is made. That was very much, I think that was more in my AP bio class than it was in any form of like health education. So while I think in all other forms of academics, I got a stellar and a higher education than a lot of people in my peer group, in that one particular subject, it was like, what now?
Right. Exactly. I know. Isn't that wild? So then fast forwarding a whole bunch, what happened when you start? I know you're kind of in the midst of your family building journey right now. What happened when you started to try and what were the circumstances surrounding that?
Oh, so my journey is almost a decade long at this point, if we're really starting at the beginning. So I was married, you know, got married at 29, the whole, like, you know, I'm going to be married before I'm 30, got married at 29. And, about a year in, we were like, okay, we're going to like remove all the birth control, the barriers, whatever we're doing. And we're just going to like wing it and see what happened. And a year went by and I really didn't think anything of it until a girlfriend of mine was like, you should have probably had like an oops by now. Like if a year's gone by and nothing's happened, you might want to go see a doctor. So I was like, hadn't thought about it. Wasn't worried.
So you hadn't been using protection or anything, just
Correct.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And there wasn't a conscious effort. I wasn't timing anything. It was just like, we were just, let's just see what happens. So we went to the doctors, and initially we went to RMA in Jersey and they did the whole gamut of tests on the both of us. And their diagnosis, was that I was fine, but there was an issue on his end and we would need to go right to IVF. And I wasn't satisfied with that answer. I was like, that doesn't make sense. And I was at the time I was studying a lot about health and food and nutrition. And I was like, you can't tell me that cells that turn over every couple of months can't be, you know, repaired in some way. I was like, they're new all the time. It's not like us, you come into the world with all the eggs you're gonna have, and that's that.
You're dropping some science on them, Kara.
It made my brain hurt. Cause I was like, you know, again, like I consider myself, you know, a relatively intelligent, reasonably educated woman.
Right.
It wasn't satisfactory. So I was like, so we tried a bunch of other like naturopathic, homeopathic things, but to make a very long story short, we went, and this was not the reason why we split, but at 38, I wound up getting divorced, and we did not have any children and we really had not done much of anything about it otherwise. We really just kind of put it on the back burner and we were like, we weren't financially ready. We didn't have the insurance coverage for it. I mean, it was just one of those things where I was like, this is daunting and overwhelming. And you know, we're not in a position.
So what did you think after the divorce at 38? And did, you know, obviously there's that number that's looming, right? The 35
right.
and all
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Were you freaking out or like what was your game plan?
My thought really was, and this is why, you know, when you asked if I had always wanted to be a mom, I really sat down and I was like, I am not, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, get out there and start dating again and maybe you'll find the right guy, you know, in time kind of a thing. And I was like, that's a lot of pressure. I was like, I don't think I want to do that. I really was not and am not interested in a, you know, a romantic relationship in that way, but I knew I wanted to be a mom. And I'm so blessed. I very stereotypical Italian kid from Jersey. I mean, thank God my parents are alive and well. I got aunts and uncles out the wazoo. I got cousins coming out my ears.
Do you have siblings?
I have a younger brother. Yep. I got a brother and a sister-in-law, you know, so we're always together, you know, which is such a blessing.
Wait, can I tell you how much I love Jersey? I just moved here in 2021. I never thought I would live here. We were in New York forever. We were in Chicago before that. I love Jersey so much.
People knock it, and I'm like,
it gets such a bad rap, and it's so beautiful, and it's so lush, and the people are so awesome. I'm so happy here
for a reason.
That's right.
Yeah. So I really, you know, I kind of sat down with my parents, and I was like, listen, I think this is something I want to do. You know, I clearly can't do it entirely by myself, but if I have your support and your blessing, I think I want to tackle this. And they were like, where do we sign? What do you need? You need money. You need where you look, you know, they were 110% on board. So
I love it.
I kind of started down the path to, you know, in the fertility community, they call a single parent by choice. So I just, it was one of those things where it was like, I knew if I had, you know, my family and my loved ones in my corner, then whatever. And I was sure, actually, I think the thing that surprised me more than anything has been the amount of support I've gotten from friends and colleagues and other people in my life where, you know, I really thought people were going to look at me and be like, you are out of your damn mind. What is wrong with you?
Did anybody say that?
I think I had one person that was like, are you sure you want to do this way? Because this shit is hard. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I think it's, you know, I forget who said the quote, but it's like, you choose your hard, right? It's hard to be married. It's hard to co-parent. It's hard to be a single parent. So I was like, this one seems to be working for me. So
great. Right. Okay. So you decide that you're going to do that. And then what were your, you know, what were the logistics of it all? Like, where did you start?
So for me, I started with, based on the information I had from my previous testing, I then started going down to Kind Body in Princeton. I liked their whole female first, female owned approach. And I wanted to do IUI. So found a sperm donor. And for me, I was very lucky. So my best friend happens to be in a same-sex marriage. And so I was really able to use her and her family as a guidepost and as, you know, somebody, you know, to kind of walk me through these things. And she was like, okay, you know, here's what you look for and here's what you want to do. And this is the process. And so I think having that very close community makes such a difference, right?
Mm-hmm. What was can you give us some of the pro tips that you got in terms of finding a donor and narrowing it down?
You know what? I really lucked out in that when they did my genetic testing, I was not a carrier for anything. So the doctors were basically like, you can pick whoever you want because you're not going to match up with any carrier diseases, even if your donor has something. Mm-hmm. So that was really a blessing. And other than that, no, she recommended one cryobank, but I wound up going with another one just because they had somebody who was more in line with what I was looking for otherwise. So I really tried to look for, I have no idea if this has any, you know, merit in science, but in my mind, I was like, okay, you know, I'm petite. I'm good at like English and literature languages. Let me try to find somebody who's like maybe taller, a little more athletic, maybe like math and science. So I was like, maybe they'll be well balanced or like smarter.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That makes so much sense. So how was the actual search? Were you finding what you were looking for?
It took me a little while. It did. It took me a while. I had wanted, as someone who's 100% Italian, I was trying to find somebody who was also 100% Italian. Hard to do. So but I did find somebody that I really liked, and he met the kind of criteria that I was looking for, you know, so you make that purchase. And that's the thing. It's like, even if you have insurance, I was paying for all of this out of pocket, but it's even just the odds and ends. So it's like, you know, people don't realize. I'm like, okay, donor sperm is, you know, $6,000.
Mm-hmm. Is that per vial, or did you get like a couple of vials?
$1,000 a vial, and I think I bought six. The nice part is you're allowed to, if you don't use it and you don't take it out of the bank, they will buy it back for you from you at half price. So,
oh, okay,
yeah. So there's your pro tip. Don't pull it all out of the bank at once.
That is a good pro tip. Okay.
And so we started. So I sent two to the clinic, and we did my first round of IUI, and they had me on Clomid for 2 weeks, I think, leading up to it. And it was funny. I found that of all the drugs I have been on, the Clomid, for whatever reason, is the one that really, I thought, impacted my mental and my emotional health more than anything. I was like, I really felt loopy on it.
I've heard that a lot. They call it the Clomid crazies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never took it personally, but I've heard so many stories of people who it really did affect them, like you said, mentally and physically too.
Yeah. So that one was a little rough. So we did the first round, and it didn't take So I said, okay, well, let's do it. You know, we'll do it again. They do tell you the numbers. I think it's something along the lines of like, you have a, maybe a 20-25% chance of that being successful.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a second round and they increased the Clomid. I was like, great. Now I'm going to be more crazy. And that one didn't work. And then I was like, all right, let me take a beat. Let me take a month off. And it was funny at this time, both of my younger female cousins announced that they were pregnant and they were due within a month of one another. So it was just kind of like this.
Yes.
I think anybody who's going through this knows that awful gut feeling where you're so happy and so angry and jealous at the same time. And you're like mad at yourself for feeling that way because you want to just lean into the joy for the people you love. But it's like, oh my God, I'm like, you know, my cousins are 5-6 years younger than me. I'm like,
yes.
Any day
it's,
now.
It's really hard. And Kara, you seem so upbeat and wonderful and loving and, you know, but tell me a little bit more about like the hard parts of this, the mental, you know, the mental like gymnastics almost that you have to go through and like the sad parts too. Like, did you ever just have those days where you were just like down in the dumps and like feeling so awful?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
I definitely, you know, when you... each time, like we did an IUI and then I would start spotting and I was like, God damn, you know, it's just, it's really disappointing. And you still have to, you know, kind of pick your head back up and go, okay, we're going to try it again. And so I really tried not to beat myself up too much because it was like, you know, I'm very much a law of attraction, universal timing sort of a person. And I really just kind of kept saying to myself, okay, like this is going to work when it's meant to work in the way it's meant to work. And we're going to go through the journey. And it was funny. My therapist is someone who has also had to go through IVF. And so she really, you know, kind of helped me through those moments and was like, listen, even as I was getting started, she was like, this is a marathon. It is not a sprint. It is not something that is going to be a one and done. She's like, it might be that's, you know, there's a possibility, but she's like, I would prepare yourself. So I think I had that support, which was really good. And just that, again, that kind of community and that, people who have had the experience prior to be like, listen, just, you know, you're going to have to kind of keep going through it a couple times and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. It's good advice because you're right. It is a marathon, not a sprint. And I think a lot of people, including myself, to be honest, think, you know, you're working with a doctor and these people are experts at their job and this is science. And if you do all the right things, it's going to be successful. And, you know, the sad reality is that's not how this works.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, again, for me, as someone who cooks and talks about food for a living, I mean, I was really focused on food. My acupuncturist then, I did a third round of IUI and I just, by the time the third round came around there, I just had this gut feeling. Right. And I think again, as women, as mothers or potential mothers, you know, you start to, and especially somebody doing this, you become really in tune with your body. And there was just, I was like, something is off. I was like, there's something about this that's not quite right. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I wasn't sure if it was them or if it was me, but my acupuncturist referred me to yet a different doctor after the third one had failed. And so this doctor was in the city. I can't recommend them enough, honestly, New Way Fertility in Manhattan, Dr. Wong.
Mm-hmm.
He did a free consultation for me. I told him everything I had been through. And he was like, you know, it does sound like they did their due diligence. It doesn't sound like anything's out of place, blah, blah, blah. He said, but if you want to come in, we'll do the whole, you know, kind of workup on you again and see where things are. And he just made me so comfortable and answered all my questions in a very reasonable fashion, never made me feel like my questions were silly or inappropriate in any way. And even I think probably my favorite thing was he would open up the floor to me. So after he would explain something, he'd be like, well, what do you think about it? You know, what's your feeling on this? And I was like, since when do doctors ask you? You know,
that's so awesome. I love hearing that because I feel like it can go either way and all doctors are so different, you know, so to hear something where you're part of a team and they're asking for your input and you feel empowered because, you know, you're helping make the decisions. That's really great.
Right. Yeah. So started working with him and now I'm trying to think where we began. He did say, he was like, okay, he's like, if we have 3 failed IUIs already, he goes, I would move to IVF. And he, was a little more curious, you know, just kind of about my history and my past. Now I have had painful periods since the word go. I have been hospitalized 3 times for periods.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been rough. So when he heard that and he was putting the 3 failed IUIs together, he goes, I think you might have endometriosis. So he said, that's just, you know, he goes that now he goes, it's not necessarily a problem just yet, but just something to keep in the back of our minds. So he said, well, let's do, you know, you're still young enough. He goes, you're young and you're healthy. Let's do an egg retrieval. So I said, okay. I said, I wanted to take kind of those 3 months or take 3 months and really prepare my body, try to do my best to, you know, boost the health of those eggs.
Yeah. What did you do specifically during those 3 months?
So this was extreme and I actually don't recommend it, but I followed, there's a book called The Egg Quality Diet. Mm-hmm. And I did follow the diet for almost the full 90 days, probably about 60, 65 days. And I was like, I was starving. It was literally.
Okay. Tell us about that for people that don't know. I'm not sure the details either.
It's super clean eating. It's a lot of cooking at home, which I do anyway. So none of that sounded challenging to me, but it is, I don't have the book at hand. It's like, no, I literally lived off of like coconuts and sweet potatoes for about 60 days and plantain chips.
Okay. Oh God. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So it's rough. It's just a very, very limited diet. And it was fine. Again, that had been referred to me by my acupuncturist. And in her and I talking about it, I was like, this is not good for me. Again, as an Italian, as someone who cooks, I was like, for me, I was like, there's a joy in food and eating. And I was like, and this is taking all of the joy.
Totally. Like, I can only have coconut so many ways.
So many ways. Yeah. Right. So she was like, don't follow it exactly. She's like, just incorporate some of the recipes that look good or whatever. But she was laughing. She goes, you know, she's not somebody who feels it. She's like, I eat to survive. Like, it's just, you know, like this thing that I do every day, like you brush your teeth kind of a thing. So she's like, I forget that for someone like you, you know, this is really, you know, a source of joy and a source of community and a source of, and, you know, not being able to participate in family meals. Cause it's like, sorry, mom, I can't have the bite. Like, you know, my mom is literally like that scene from Big Fat Greek Wedding. And she's like, you know, she's like, I'll make you meatballs. And he was like, no, my kid.
Oh my God. I want to meet your family.
No gluten, no dairy. No.
Yes. No. I want to meet your family, Kara. Can you have me over for dinner sometime?
I'd love to meet you. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's a very open door policy here.
It sounds like it. Yeah. So that's rough. What were some other things? Were you doing anything like in terms of exercise or other like self-care?
Yeah, absolutely. Exercising. I had bought special, you know, herbal teas that were supposed to, you know, improve your fertility and heal your womb and increase your eggs and all. I mean, I was literally the supplements. I was doing all the things. I was like, we are throwing.
I did. Everything yeah. I was the same. I went to Chinatown and got this like woo woo tea that tasted like absolute shit. And I would like choke it down multiple times a day. But I was like, I'll do anything.
I'll do anything.
Anything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thankfully these teas tasted pretty good. And I enjoy a cup of tea. So it wasn't quite a stretch, but it was just, I was like, you know, my mom was like, she's like, you have lost it. altogether. Mm-hmm. I know we're doing this. It's going to work. We're going
to, you know. I like that you leaned into it though, right? And that's how we are. Like, I feel like people listening who are on this journey or have been, you know, you will do anything. You're like, this, I want this so badly. Like, give me all the things. I'll do all the things. Makes perfect sense to me.
I think for me, as someone who's also a very type A personality, it gave me a sense of control. It's like, well, I can control my diet and I can control my supplements and I can control what I drink. And so I can play an active role in this rather than just leaving it to the doctors or leaving it to, you know, it is what it is kind of a thing. So I think for me, that was important to just have that sense of autonomy of like, I am an active participant in this and I am contributing in a meaningful way and it's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we did, when it came time, it was funny. I was a little leery because my doctor wanted to do what's called like a random start cycle for the egg retrieval, which I didn't realize. He explained to me like, your eggs are kind of constantly developing throughout your cycle, but it's just when that hormone increases that one of them pops. But at any time you have several that are kind of ready to rock. So I went in mid-cycle and it was the weirdest thing because I'm pretty sure I had literally said to a girlfriend of mine, I was like, there's no way, because I didn't have super even average numbers. Again, I was, you know, 38 at the time, you know, so he was checking and I would have 8 or I would have 10. And I was like, I'm not doing this at a random start. That just, again, I had worked really hard to ease my period symptoms, to sync my cycle, to, you know, really kind of get that into play. And I was like, I do not want to be, could I say the F word? I was like,
yes,
I want to be fucking with my hormones mid cycle, jack everything up. You know, I've worked so hard for this.
Yes.
So I had said to a girlfriend right before my appointment, I said, if there's 20 eggs in there, I'll do it. But there's no way he's going to, do you know the man found 20 eggs?
Right.
So I was like, well, there you go. I was like, now I got to eat my words. So I was like, let's do it. Let's do the random start.
Oh my gosh. Yes, exactly.
So they, you know, they prescribed all the medications and I picked them up the next day and that was it. I was really lucky at the time. It was summertime and I was able to be kind of down the shore and just relaxing, you know, giving myself the injection, something I never thought I'd be able to do. So we went through that. Did the egg retrieval, went really well. I think they got, you know, and this is where people forget there's such attrition, right? Like as the numbers mm-hmm. go.
So yes,
I think they got 14 eggs.
Okay.
8 were viable.
Okay.
7 became embryos. 5 made it to the blastocyst stage. 4 were genetically normal. Right.
Okay. So you had testing. And you end up with 4 healthy embryos. That's right. Yeah. The attrition is something that I think unless you go through this, you have no idea. It's like, and it's hard to explain to people that aren't in this, they're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yes,
it's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Yeah. So those numbers go down. So just, you know, being able to kind of, but even for me, you know, it was funny. My nurse looked at me and she was like, she's like, 4 is a great, she goes, Are you looking to have like a squad? I was like, no, I'm one person. I'm not even trying to be outnumbered. Like,
a squad. Like, I'm not trying to be outnumbered.
One, maybe 2 of those is good. Like that's
right.
All right. She's like, exactly. Then 4 is good. You don't need more than
that. Is good. Okay. Okay. So did you feel good about how it all went down and like,
yeah, I did. And it was, you know, again, the facility there is fantastic. And I just thought the nursing team was so kind and compassionate and they just mm-hmm. really take care of you. And it was so sweet. My parents were, you know, in the waiting room for me and they met this other grandma whose daughter was going in for her egg retrieval as well. And they all sat and had this little chit chat.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. So again, it's just this, you know, as they say, it's the worst club with the best members.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's our fertility rally tagline.
There you go.
Yeah, it really is. It's like nobody wants to be here, but the people are just wonderful.
Yeah.
For the most, you know?
Yeah. So, and it's been really fun actually, even doing this with my mom because, like, when we were talking about sex education, you know, sex education for their generation, she was like, I didn't know my body did these things or that your body could do these things. Like, she's like, I had no idea. She's like,
totally.
Winged it.
Right. It's so true. It's, and so much has changed even since the advent of IVF, you know, 40 plus years ago, so much has changed.
Exactly.
So, okay. So you did the retrieval that went well. And then what about transfer?
So, and this is, I will say, this is probably from my experience, my number one piece of advice for people doing this, before you start anything, even an IUI, ask for a practice transfer.
Mm.
And here's why.
Like a mock transfer. Yes. Okay.
My doctor was, again, he was like, I'm still a little concerned about this endometriosis possibility. I want to do an endometrial biopsy. It does not medically diagnose endometriosis, but there's some protein level in there that determines, you know, kind of your ability for this pregnancy to, you know, for a transfer to take.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in, it just so happened that my doctor was on vacation when my biopsy was scheduled, but he was like, I have full confidence in my partner. He can absolutely do this, blah, blah, blah. Okay. This poor man, it took him almost 30 minutes to get this catheter into me because he was like, you are not a straight line. He's like, I can't even see where your cervix goes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Finally got it in. Pulled the tissue, they send the sample, the lab comes back and says, it's not enough tissue for us to run the test. So I was like, shit. Now that was, you have to wait a full month, you know, in order to do the test.
Right. Oh my God. And sorry to interrupt, but somebody was saying, I posted something on Instagram yesterday from another interview I did where they were saying like, 3 months, you know, looking back doesn't seem like a long time, but when you're going through fertility treatments, every day is an eternity.
Yeah. And just to wait, you're like, oh my God, it's another month. And you know, it's mm-hmm. because it's a lot of times because it's timed, you know, 2 year cycle, if there's a delay, it's not usually a day or a week. It usually winds up being the full cycle. You got to wait to get back to that point in your cycle. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's part of the frustration. So my doctor, you know, emailed, he put, God bless him, the man, he emailed me from his vacation.
Oh.
And said, listen, we can do the test again. He's like, I will do it for free since that was our mistake.
Wow.
Or we can just go ahead and see what happens. And I sat down with my parents and we really talked about it. And it was kind of one of those things where it was like, listen, after all this time and all this money and all this effort, why take the risk? Just mm-hmm. do that. One more month, you know, do that. Mm-hmm. And again, that's where you do have to have that kind of outside person that's like, I see that you are struggling and chomping at the bit and desperate for this to be done, but do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to get the test, do it, get it done.
So true. Yeah.
We decide to do it again. I go back in, same problem. He cannot get this catheter in me.
Okay.
And so he, after the first guy, like I said, took him about 30 minutes, but he did finally get in there. My doctor only tried for about 15 minutes and he sat back and he looked at me and he went, I can keep torturing you or you can come back tomorrow and I can put you under anesthesia.
Mm.
So I said, okay. I said, well, let's try that.
Yeah.
So went back in the next day. They put me under anesthesia. I was under for almost 45 minutes.
Wow.
It took them so long. When I finally woke up, he looked at me and he went, you go in, down, to the left, and like back around.
Wow. Did they have a term for that?
They didn't have a term specifically for that twisting, but his thought, he goes, between your bad periods, your 3 failed IUIs, and your anatomy, I really firmly believe that you have endometriosis. And I think that's what that scar tissue is twisting your cervix into 2 different directions.
Wow.
And he goes, your IUIs never would have worked. You never would have gotten pregnant naturally. It's too off, too far for anything to get in there. And that really is why I say, ask for the test transfer, because that's going to let you know, especially if you're starting, like, I paid $18,000 for 3 IUIs that never would have worked had somebody done this test. And I would have known that they're not getting a catheter in there anyway.
Right.
So it felt resistance. That wasn't my uterus. It was just the twist in my cervix.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Now there's like tests like Receptiva DX, which is like a test for endometriosis and endometritis, yes, and things like that too. So yeah, it's almost like advocate for yourself, ask, at least arm yourself with the knowledge that these things exist and figure out if it's right for you. And, right, you know, because like, as you know, Kara, like, doctors don't know everything and every anatomy is different, and you kind of have, you know, your own body the best, right?
Right, right. And that was, you know, the Receptiva was the test that they were trying to do when they couldn't get it. And that was kind of what made him scratch his head and go, something's off here. So that was why, but he goes, I mapped it. He goes, so now I know which way to go.
Oh my God. That's amazing. That would be cool to get a copy of that map.
I know, like, I was kind of frame it. Like, do you have that like written out, printed somewhere?
Turn it into like a piece of art. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
But same thing. So they sent the Receptiva test and it did come back, you know, very high.
Yes.
And so he said, listen, he goes, this reduces your odds of a transfer taking down to 12%.
Wow. Okay.
So I said, now what? So he said, you have two options. He goes, we can do 3 months of Lupron injections, which will drop your estrogen. It should reduce the inflammation from the endometriosis and kind of, you know, help clear that out or at least bring our chances back up. He said, or you can have the laparoscopic surgery for endometriosis and they will kind of laser out the scar tissue. So again, kind of sat down with my parents who were helping, you know, foot all these bills at this point too. And at first my parents were like, well, why just do the surgery? That seems, you know, it's laparoscopic. It's not a big deal. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, like if they fuck up with that laser, like that's it. Like this whole show is done.
Right. Yeah. Not a bad point. Yeah.
You know, I was like, and plus I was like, even laparoscopic surgery does have its risks. You're under anesthesia, blah, blah, blah. So my aunt, who happens to be, she's retired now, but she was an RN. So we kind of brought her into the consultation and she actually agreed with me. You know, she was like, I would do the shots. She's like, it's safer. It's easier. It's less invasive. She's like, I get that you don't love the synthetic hormones, but you know, she was like, I think it's less risky than the surgery. So, and again, same thing. And that was our other thought again, the timing was, it was like, well, we can do the surgery in a day. And as soon as you're healed, we can move on versus, you know, waiting another 3 months for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we really kind of came up with that, you know, that the Lupron shots were going to be the best course of action.
Okay.
So we did that for 3 months. So I call that my little side quest. That was fun because what happens with Lupron is it basically puts your body into menopause because it drops your estrogen to almost zero.
Mm-hmm.
So it is hot flashes, night sweat, mood swing.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I know so many people have to go through that and it always is torturous.
It is. Yeah. So it was rough. It was rough. And, you know, you don't get a period. And I remember this, it was around the holidays now. So it's Thanksgiving, right? It's like 35 degrees outside. I'm standing on my mother's deck in a tank top. She's like, are you going to make it? I was like, I don't think so.
Oh my God. I feel like you and your family need to be in a movie. I can tell the characters.
That beats out the DeFalcos. I mean, we are a trip. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. So then the 3 months, which must have seemed like 3 years, right?
Yeah. It's an eternity. It's a big needle. It's got to go in your ass. So, you know, my aunt had to do it for me. God bless her.
Yeah.
And again, lucky enough that I happen to have someone in my family who's an RN who knows exactly how to administer an intramuscular shot. Like,
right.
And especially for someone like me who, again, you know, I don't have a partner in that traditional sense where I could just stay in my homes, but you know, I was at least able to have a family member do that and help me out. And again, that love and support has just been overwhelming. So we did that. And then I, you know, once that was done, they gave me the all clear. So the next thing we're looking at is that frozen embryo transfer and hoping all goes well.
Okay. So do you have any prep for transfer day or have you like accrued any info from other people in this world, you know, the TTC community about preparing for that day or like anything superstitious that you're going to do or anything like that?
You know what? So Italians are notoriously superstitious people, right? So 100% did like the, you know, I would and planning on to do the, you know, the pineapple I know is the big one.
Yeah. Pineapple core.
The pineapple. Yeah. With the core. I think I read something. It's like, oh, take it, like start eating it 3 days before and for 2 days after or something like.
I did that. Yep. There's bromelain, I think is the name of the ingredient that helps with implantation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So, and I was like, you know, I was like, I happen to like pineapple. It's delicious. It's any of these kind of superstitious and or holistic things. It's one of those things where I'm like, if it doesn't sound like it's going to hurt anything, you know, then why not at least try? You know, what difference does it make?
100%.
You know, and then otherwise just, you know, continued to have like a really good clean diet. You know, tried to get back on the teas.
Yeah.
I emailed the company that makes the tea and they were like, cause I was like, listen, I've been on this medicine. I don't know really where I'm at in my cycle. Cause I haven't had a period for the last 3 months. Like, where do I start? Cause the teas synced up with the different phases of your cycle.
Mm-hmm.
She was lovely. Emailed me right back. Was like, okay, just use the womb warming tea or whatever it was.
Okay.
Prepped. So, you know, I'm drinking my tea. I'm eating my pineapple. I'm just, again, you know, eating protein and veggies.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So what do you know now that you didn't know at the beginning of this journey? You know, you said it's been almost a decade really from the beginning. So what do you wish that you knew then that you know now?
Definitely that test transfer, I think, has been the biggest one for me, because I was like, that literally would have saved me almost $20,000 had I known that there was no way anything was getting in there.
Right.
So that was one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's worth it to really shop around and find the right clinic and the right doctor for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was very comfortable with my first clinic, but like I said, I just, you know, it got to a point where I was like, I feel like they're missing something. And I kept asking if there was another test or something that could be done. And they were like, no, you know, like everything, you know, all your work, your blood work and your tests are coming back normal. And I was like, okay, but it's not working. So something's wrong. Like,
you know, right. Absolutely. Yes. Like we said, you know, your own body. Yeah. And keep asking questions.
Ask all the questions, ask for all the tests, and just make sure that, you know, things are working fully.
Absolutely.
And yourself. I mean, I think that's the other big thing. I do very firmly believe that diet and lifestyle play a massive role, not only in fertility, but health overall and even society. And it's so much of what I do in my business where I think people forget, especially these days and in the US, the power that we do have with our dollars, with our dinner plates, to make a change. So I think that's the other big thing, is really, you know, sit there and see. And I get it that, you know, budgets are hard and you know, fertility treatments are stupid expensive, whether you have insurance or not. So I always try to tell people, I'm like, listen, you got to look at food on a sliding scale, you know, get your veggies in. And if you can't afford fresh, organic, local veggies, get frozen ones. If the frozen ones are too big, get them in a can, as long as you're eating the damn thing.
100%. Yeah.
You know, however you can do it. I think that's important.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, guys. I hope you loved this episode as much as I love talking to Kara. Please check out Fertility Rally Live on April 27th. Again, you can go get your free tickets over on our Instagram at Fertility Rally or my Instagram, InfertileAF Stories. And we'd love to see you. If you can't make it live, you have 90 days to watch everything. And also check out Work of Art, my children's book about IVF. It's my family's true story, and you can find it at InfertileAFGroup.com/books. Again, that's InfertileAFGroup.com/books. Thank you guys so much. Sending you all a huge hug.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.